Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this morning, and I know you've had a good week preparing for service and worshiping God and going about your lives, daily lives, taking care of your business. And this morning we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Just one small verse, one short verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And what I'm going to do this morning and this evening is I'm going to start a little series, I guess. I'm not sure how long I'll go on it, but I want to talk about the different names given to Christ, and I guess you could say given to God, but you get different names given to Christ in the Bible, and I want to spend a few weeks on that. Now, of course, as I said this morning, 2 weeks from today is Easter, so we'll be looking at the resurrection at least on that day and probably some next week as well, but following the Easter, whenever we're done with that, we'll return to this, but if you know Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is the verse where it talks of the foretelling of Christ, the coming of the Christ child, of the Virgin, and it gives the four names that we'll be reading here in a minute, and we're going to look at two of those today, and then two the next time we look at this, the last two, the next time we look at this verse, which may be a few weeks. And then there are other names in the Bible given to Christ that we will look at in the future. So I just thought there would be something interesting, and we'll see how it goes and where God leads on that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read. Father, we just thank you for the love you give us, and we just pray this morning that as we read your word, that you would bless the reading of your word, God, that we would not take it for granted. You have given this to us. You have passed these words down through the centuries and the millenniums. The millennia that we would have today, that we would be able to know your will and to know the way you work and know how you want us to live and to see the way you've lived in the past and worked in the past and how today you're never changing, God. The times may change and maybe things are different today than they were hundreds of years ago or even 20 years ago, but we know that even though time changes, you do not. And as you speak to us today, I just pray, God, that we will remember these names that are attributed to Christ and the things, the titles, and the designations given to him, and that we will learn about these and make them a part of our lives and our vocabulary, but also understand why it is that you are given these names. And we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts and pray that you prepare us again for this message this morning. And it's all these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus, and we love you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you speak to us, and do pray that you give me the words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 9, verse 6, you may remain seated this morning, so this is just one verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. May God bless the reading of the word this morning. This morning, we're going to look at the first one there. And in the King James, it says wonderful, then it has a comma, then it says counselor, and it has a comma. But it's pretty much accepted widely that those two words go together. That his name is Wonderful Counselor. Because if you look at the rest of these names here, there are adjectives with all of them. So it's accepted that it's Wonderful Counselor all together. And that's the way I'm going to look at it this morning. That's the first name that we're going to view in this series, is that name, Wonderful Counselor. Tonight we'll look at the Mighty God, it says here, or Almighty God, and what that means. And then next week we probably will go to the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace and finish this verse, and then move on from there following Easter, as I said. But this morning, we're just going to look at that first one, Wonderful Counselor, putting those together. What does it mean that Christ is the Wonderful Counselor? The name is given to him. And obviously, this is the Old Testament, and I am aware that Christ was not alive at this time. But this is a prophecy to be told, that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A verse that we refer to many times at the Christmas season, talking about the birth of Christ. This is the foretelling of, the prophecy of, the Savior that is to come several hundred years after this time was this book was written. And it refers to Christ with these four names. And when we look at the names of Christ, and not only the four here, but there are many others that we will look at. The hiding place, he is called. The shepherd and bishop of our souls. Faithful and true. Alpha and Omega. Beginning and the end. The first and the last. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. There are so many names, and that's just, I mean, you may have seen t-shirts, and maybe you've seen even the poster, if you remember. In fact, one time I think we had that poster in the youth room. I don't know if it's still there. It seems like I saw it there anyway. But there's posters that have the different names of Christ and the verses that they're mentioned in. And, you know, dozens of names, maybe hundreds of names that are given to Christ throughout the Bible, referring to him in different ways. I will not go through all of those, obviously. We could be here for years doing that. And I don't know, if God leads that way, maybe we will. But at least for a few weeks, I wanted to take some of the names of Christ. And I felt, being around Easter time, that would be a good way to lead into the Easter season when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But Wonderful Counselor. We use the word wonderful a lot in our vocabulary. It's not an uncommon word. And I say we use it a lot. We don't use it, I guess, as much now as probably they did, you know, 40, 50 years ago or more. You know, we have the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and so many times you watch some of those older movies, and the older generations, they seem to use the word wonderful more than we do now, and I know my generation does, but it is a word that we use quite often. It's not a foreign concept to us. And the thing about the word wonderful in our language is that it's not given to just anyone, is it? I mean, you're going around saying that person's wonderful, and just start giving it out to anybody and everybody. You reserve that word. It's one of those words. It's a compliment that you reserve for people that you really think highly of. You don't just say it for anyone. The word wonderful does attribute a sense of greatness to a person. It really does. I mean, that, I don't know, I didn't look up the definition in the English dictionary, but we know when we use the word wonderful, we're using it to describe someone that we think is great, or we think is special in some way. Now, on a more national scale or more public scale, it would be used in many cases to describe a great person like a general of an army or the president of the United States, for example, or a king of a country, or a politician, a well-known politician. I'm sure there are a lot of people using the name or using the word wonderful to describe Barack Obama right now, and Hillary Clinton and John McCain and President Bush. Whether you would use that for certain people of those that I've mentioned or not, it's not my point. My point is, let's face it, there are people that would say each of those people are wonderful, are great. And it is a word that we use when we talk of people in prominent positions. And maybe not as much as great, the word great, but wonderful does use to describe this. A wonderful person, he's a wonderful man, a wonderful senator, a wonderful president. It can be used of someone in a public position. And it does give that idea of a stately citizen, a well-respected person in the society. Someone that is viewed with great stature, that they have great standing in an area or amongst the people. And maybe, like I said, it could be the president, it could be a senator, could be the mayor of a town, it could be a principal of a school, or a well-loved and admired teacher by the students at school, someone like that, that, you know, a place of position, a prominence, stature that we would use for those people, that as a wonderful person, the way they are and the way they treat people. Athletics, of course, you have coaches. I was watching one of the coaches, Duke Blue Devils coaches, Duke University, Mike Krzyzewski. I was watching him speak last night, and I was thinking, you know, that's why he's such a great coach, because of the way his demeanor is, the way he talks, the way you just know you listen to him talk, and you can see why 20 and 21-year-old men want to be on his team, want to play for him. He is a wonderful coach. He teaches. He's respectful to the kids, his college kids. And it's that kind of person, that someone like that, that has that place of prominence that we would say is a wonderful, wonderful man, a wonderful coach, a wonderful whatever it is. And so on a public scale, it is used many times to refer to people and places of prominence. But on a more personal level, it can be used of someone that may not be well known publicly, but is well known to you. A family member like a mom or a dad, a spouse, a child, or maybe even just a friend that you admire, that you would attribute the word and the adjective of wonderful to them. You know, I think about my family, and I think of my parents, and I do consider them to be wonderful people. I know that I recently learned some of the sacrifices and the hard work my dad did for us when we were kids growing up, didn't even realize some of the things he did and sacrifices he made until recently. And I told him yesterday that I appreciated it. But anyway, that I think he's a wonderful person for the things he's done for me. Now, you may not know who he is, and you may not know much about him, and you may think, well, he's a nice guy at times. I see him here at church, but you don't know him well enough maybe to attribute that to him. But I do, and I would attribute the adjective of wonderful to my parents, my mom and dad, my sisters. You know, I don't have a spouse or kids, so I can't attribute it to them. But maybe you have a wife or a husband, you would say that's the one. I would hope that you say that's a wonderful man or a wonderful woman that I'm married to, and that your kids are wonderful kids, even though sometimes they may not act as wonderful as you would like. But you know, you have a friend that you work with, or maybe you go to church with, or you just know some other way that you think they're a wonderful person. They're always there for you, always helping you when they shouldn't be helping you. They are, and when it's not really anything that they should have to attend to, they'll attend to. I think of you know, Cookie Barton, when she was having all her problems and having to go to Gainesville all the time. I don't know if any of you realize this, but Becky Weeks took her. Becky Weeks is not related to Cookie in any way other than she was just a friend, but Becky always took her down there. Drove her down there and made sure she was down there when she was dying and it wasn't looking good. She was down there almost all the time, staying overnight with the family. I mean, Becky was a wonderful person to Cookie Barton, and that's what I mean. It's people like that they're just exceptional, and they're not going to get any kind of, you know, popularity or fame out of it or money. They're just who they are, and they're just wonderful people. And it might be a friend, it might be a family member, or another distant relative, or someone, or just someone you know, that you would say that's a wonderful person. It's a term of respect. And the things they do are wonderful. The way they act is wonderful. The things they say are wonderful things. They're always complimenting, always appreciative, always encouraging, always helpful to you and to others. And it's the way they live their lives. It is a term of respect that's given to them. That's why I said that word is not, we don't say just anybody is a wonderful person. There are only certain people in life that we will meet that we are willing to say that's a wonderful person. And the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people in our lives that we will meet that think that they deserve us to call them that, and we have no intentions of all of telling them that is. Isn't that funny? The ones that think they deserve to be called wonderful are the ones that you would never even expect to say it of them. But the ones that don't care and the ones that just live their life the way they need to, they're the ones that do what they need to do and do what they're supposed to do, that we respect and we give it to. It's not always about, you know, you spent 30 years in college, or, you know, you've got 15 doctorate degrees, or you're an important person or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It's who they are and the way they live their life. It makes us say that's a wonderful person. We look at this verse, and this is attributed here in Isaiah 9, verse 6, in particular to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I cannot go any farther in the message without spending time letting you know that what I'm talking about this morning are not other people. Those are just examples of who we would say it of. But the main thing that we say today, the main person that is wonderful in our life is Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. In fact, and if you were to open up your hymn book, you don't have to do it. I'm just saying if you were to do it and you were to turn to hymn number 203, you would see a hymn entitled, His Name is Wonderful. I believe that's one that we've sung here before many times here at Gordon Avenue. That is a hymn that we sing. And I hope when we sing that it's not something that is just words from our mouth, but that we really know and understand and mean what we're saying. That His name is wonderful. Christ, you know, in that time, the name what meant who they were, and He is a wonderful person. He is a great person. He is well respected. He is someone that lives a life that is honorable. He is someone that is in an honorable position, someone that loves us and cares for us. Christ is wonderful. He is above all. He is greater than all. When He was on this earth in the form of man, He performed great miracles and did great things. And even today, as He sits at the right-hand throne of God, He intercedes for you and I. He takes the place of you and I. Between us and God, telling God, I have bought that person my blood. I have saved that person from his sins or her sins, and that they belong to me. And that is wonderful that He does that for us. He is wonderful for the things He does for us. But not only is it the things He does and who He is, but it gives the implication of divine wisdom and deity. That He is a wonderful person, that He is a king, that He is great, that He is above all, greater than all. Christ is wonderful. And we look at this morning, we see this said of Christ, that He is the wonderful counselor. And I wonder about, in our lives, is Christ wonderful to us? Is Christ wonderful to you? Is Jesus wonderful in your life? Do you tell Him He's wonderful? Do you believe that He's wonderful? Do you live your life as to believe that your Savior is a wonderful person? Is He special to you? Is He great to you? Is He above all else to you? Or is He just something else? Is He just, you know, is He just a passing, you know, I'm a Christian, that's good, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Who is Christ? Is He wonderful? Is He important? Is He special? Because if He is wonderful to you, if He is wonderful in your life, if He is special to you in your life, then you will live for Him the way you are supposed to. You will do the things that He wants you to do. You will live a wonderful life. You will be a wonderful person if Christ is truly wonderful to you. Is Christ wonderful in your life? Is He the greatest thing in your life? Or are there other things? Or is there something else? Who is Christ to you? Is He wonderful to you? But we know this morning that this title does not stop with that word. It says, in fact, that He is the wonderful counselor. He is the wonderful counselor. The great counselor. The unbelievably loving and compassionate counselor. Above all, greater than all. But we look at what a counselor is. We think about who a counselor is in our life. What do counselors do for us? A counselor is someone who listens to us, isn't it? Is that what, I mean, when you think of a counselor, you think of someone that you're going to go and spill your guts to, so to speak. You know, you're going to lay your heart on the line. You're going to tell them what's on your mind. You're going to tell them what's bothering you, what's hurting you. Maybe it's a psychological thing. Maybe it's mental. Maybe there's something physical that's caused you to have a psychological pain or a mental problem or whatever, but there's something bothering you, and normally it does deal with the mind and the thinking, the emotions that we have, and there's things that bother us, and we just got to go to someone, and we've got to tell them, this is what's wrong with me. I'm hurting, I'm pain, maybe I'm depressed, or maybe I'm emotionally distraught, or whatever it may be, but there's something with me emotionally that is wrong. And that's what a counselor does. A counselor listens. Now, I know there are professional counselors. I know that there are men and women that are paid and study, and you know that you tell them a few things and they think they got you all figured out. And there's nothing wrong with going to a counselor like that, but I think we all know that in our lives the true counselors are not always the ones that wear the nice suit and have the weird chair and charge us $90 a session to talk to them or whatever it may be. A counselor is not necessarily a professional person. Now, it could be someone professionally that we go to, but sometimes it may just be a family member or a friend or a Sunday school teacher or whatever. And I can remember when I was younger in my teenage years, and I'm not saying I don't need counseling anymore. There's things that bother me, and I have to go and talk to people about it still. But I know when I was in high school, there was a lady, our guidance counselor at school, my junior year in particular, I'd spend hours in her office, not a day, but an hour or so, maybe a day, that it just something was bothering me, and I had to go and talk with her. And she'd listen, and she'd help me, and she'd pray with me. She was public school, but she was a Christian, and I don't remember if we ever prayed. I don't know if she did that, but she was a Christian, and she could use that. She knew I was, and she wouldn't get in trouble by using that kind of advice. And anyway, she helped me, and it was someone, you know, she was she was in the school system, but she wasn't, you know, a professional in that sense of that was all her work. She was just someone that listened, someone that cared about me, someone that showed that she cared and cared about my problems and helped me bear the burden, willing to listen, willing to hear what I would say, willing to evaluate my condition, and willing to do whatever she could as a counselor to provide relief from the pain I was having. Because I think we all would know and we all would say it. Physical pain is bad. You know, and maybe sometimes you get a chronic pain that you just can't get rid of, but for the most part, usually there's something we can do to fix it. Maybe we can have a surgery, we can take pills, or it'll go away. Physical pain, though it hurts, does seem to eventually subside. But isn't it true that the emotional pains of life, it seems like sometimes if they don't go away, it takes much longer. Because you can't put a Band-Aid in your brain. You know, you can't put a Band-Aid on your thoughts. There's just some things like that we struggle with. And we need to go to somebody and we say, you know, I'm hurting. This is bothering me. And I need help with this. And we go to that counselor and we talk to them. And they provide whatever relief from the pain that they can. And that's who counselors are. They're there to listen, to care about our problems, to hear what we have to say, and to do the best they can to help us and bear that burden with us. And when we think about this, and it attributes again that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. You ever think about Christ as your counselor? You ever think about Christ as the one that you go to, look, this Jesus is bothering me. And it may be insignificant to other people, but it's not to you. It bothers you. This is bothering me. This is a burden that I have. And I can't carry this anymore. It hurts. It's painful. I need relief. I need comfort. I need to have this pain removed from my life. And do you ever go to Christ and say, will you help me? Will you give me what I need? Fix my problem. Help my problem. Heal my wounds. Christ wants to listen to you. He is not estranged from us. He is not removed from us. He does not think that we are unimportant to Him. He thinks that we are very important to Him. He wants us to come to Him with our problems. That's why it says, approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and compassion and help to help us in our time of need. Christ is there to listen to us. And there's a series of verses in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 11, that speak to Christ as the counselor, wanting to bear our burdens and wanting to listen to us and wanting to help us through the difficult times of life. Wanting to be that counselor for us. And that is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That is a counselor. I will bear your burden. I will carry that burden for you. I will carry that pain. I will help you through that difficult time. I will listen to what you have to say. I will do what I can to touch you and heal you and to make you feel better and to give you the comfort that you want. Christ is our counselor. But the Bible tells us he's our wonderful counselor. You see, it goes beyond that Christ is just wonderful. And it goes beyond that Christ just listens. He is the great and powerful communicator. He is the great listener. Better than any person would ever be, better than any husband or wife or mother or father or brother, sister, whatever friend may be, he listens. He communicates. He's awesome. He's loving, compassionate. He's the great alleviator. He takes away our pain. He takes away our sin. And I think the wonderful counselor, that idea, I think that great, the idea of the great alleviator that I mentioned, you know what alleviate means? To take away, to appease, to remove, to lighten the load. That's what he does. He's the great alleviator. He cares for us. He is the wonderful counselor. He wants to help us through our times of difficulty. And maybe you're in a time of your life where you're facing something difficult. Maybe it's something with your family or your work or your physical body or whatever it may be, and it's taking a toll on you physically, but it's taking a toll on you emotionally and mentally. And you just say, "You know, Christ, I need you to be my counselor. I need you to help me through this time. I need you to guide me through this time. I need you to give me the peace that I want. I need you to help me, and I want you to help me, and I know that you want to help me." And Christ is there. He wants to listen. He wants to remove that pain. He wants to help you through this difficult and trying time. Make Christ your counselor today. Make him the counselor in your life. Go to him with the pains and the problems that you have. He is wonderful. He is great. He is God. He is above all. But he is also your counselor. Not only is he a great person and a great man and a great Savior, but he is a great listener and a great alleviator. And he wants to remove those pains in your life. Do you have something today that you need to bring to Christ? Do you have a pain that you need to come to Christ? Do you have something that you need to say, "Christ, you are my counselor. I want to talk to you about this. This is bothering me. Take away my pain. Fix my problem. Help me in this time of distress." Whatever it may be, I pray that this morning you will come to Christ and give that to him. Our hymn invitation this morning is hymn number 316, "Jesus is Tenderly Calling." He's calling to you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to take those burdens to him. He wants you to bring the burdens to him. He wants to be your counselor, and he is a wonderful counselor. He is a listener, and he will help you. Will you come to Christ today? Will you bring your burdens to Christ today? Will you have him alleviate the pain in your life? Whatever it may be, I pray that God will do today and you allow him to do. Father, we do just want to pray this morning. We want to pray that you would help us through our difficult times. Because Christ, we do know that we sometimes fall into the pains of life, emotional pains, mental pains, and we let things bother us and get to us. And I just pray, God, that we would come to you and that we would seek after you and ask you to be our counselor and help us through these difficult times. To take away our pain in whatever way you can do that. And God, I just pray for every person here this morning that we would be obedient in that way. And we just love you, God, and we praise you, and we pray as you have spoken to us now, that we would be obedient to you. And open our eyes to your truth and help us to do as you've called us to do. And it's all these things we pray and ask that you would speak to our hearts now and bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.